of Ephesians, the book of Ephesians, chapter 4 this morning. Ephesians chapter 4, we're going to read verses 28 through 32 this morning. I'll read aloud as you read silently. That's Ephesians chapter 4, verses 28 through 32 this morning. Please stand to your feet this morning, if you would, in honor of God's word as we read the word of God together this morning. The book of Ephesians, and beginning at verse 28, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 28. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the word of God. Thank you that we have the freedom in this country that we can still come and hear it preached openly and freely. God, but we need more than that today. We need to hear from heaven. We need you to speak to our hearts and help us individually today. God, work in our midst. Father, if there's one that doesn't know Jesus Christ as their Savior, that today they would settle that before they leave this room. And Father, for all that to be accomplished, you're going to have to anoint Pastor Johnson with thy Holy Spirit. Please do that for our sakes, in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated.
We always begin our morning message asking you to make sure that your electronic devices are turned off or to vibrate. Please be sure to do that if it goes off during the service and we hear it. We have a CD of Brother Evan singing and we'll make you listen to it. So please, yeah, you don't want it to go off. Trust me now. So help us there. I'm going to ask now that you sit real still and listen very carefully this morning. These last few Sundays we've been talking about biblical answers to life's issues. In other words, the answer, not an answer. The answer for these issues we face in life. They'll come from the Bible, which means it comes from God. Which means God, the eternal God, who put this in His eternal word, knew that you today, September the 6th, 2009, would face issues in your life. And He put the answer in the Bible for you, so you would have it today. Hey, not just someday, not for some people, you. So, and I would have it also. So we would be able to look at these things that we face in life and we would be able to have the answer for the issues we face in life. Now, what's very important to understand is this. It will do you no good if you don't believe the answer God gives you and follow it. It's like someone giving you directions. I don't trust those GPS things. I just don't trust them. I've got one. And I just always in the back of my mind, like any man, you know, we think we know better how to get there. That's why the children of Israel wandered for 40 years in the wilderness. Moses wouldn't ask for directions. But I just can't trust that thing. I just don't. Take a right turn. Maybe it's left here. I don't know. Even a town I've never been before. But I'll tell you what, I may not trust the GPS, but I trust the Bible. Ladies and gentlemen, we're not just here to throw out an answer to go into the box with all the other answers that you get in life. The Bible is the answer. Because God wrote the book, and the book is God's book, and that means He knew it would be the answer you would need for your life. Please trust it. Hey, please follow it. Please respond to it. Today, the answer for the issues of life that we face is the answer of forgiveness. Forgiveness. You know what's fascinating? Just the last few years, you see these the news reports about how modern-day psychologists and philosophers are finding out the power of forgiveness in helping people in their lives and their relationships. They're finding it out. 3,500 years ago, a man named Joseph, because of the jealousy of his brothers, was sold to slavery. And because he was sold to slavery, he lost 20 years of his life. 20 years. Now then he is sold again as a slave, so twice sold into slavery. While in a slave home, a slave household, in a slave position, he is falsely accused and now imprisoned. So twice sold as a slave, now falsely imprisoned, accused of rape. He has no hope of life whatsoever, nothing. In that prison, God uses him to interpret some dreams, and he goes from the pit where he was put by his brothers to Potiphar's house where he was sold as a slave to the prison. And in that prison there, Joseph interprets some dreams. Pharaoh hears about it. He goes to the throne, interprets Pharaoh's dreams, and he goes to the palace. And now Joseph becomes the second most powerful man in the land of Egypt. And while there, his brothers come. Only they don't know it's Joseph. And they kneel before him asking food in the famine, days of famine. Now he has the power to destroy their lives. He could torture them. He could do anything he wanted to. He was the second most powerful man in the world. And he forgives them. And he restores them. If he talks, would you take him out? Just, he's all right, but if he talks again, take him out. Okay, Mom, that's fine. Thank you. And he restores them. He feeds them. He brings them to Egypt. He gives them a place to live. He takes care of them. And at the end of it all, when their father dies, they come to Joseph and again they deceive Joseph and do him wrong. And he still forgives them. So it wasn't like a momentary, okay, I forgive you. It was a forgiveness and a forgiveness and a forgiveness. And he had to keep doing that. To the very end of it all, his brother, look at me, his brothers still wronged him and he still forgave them. That's 3,500 years ago, before modern psychologists and philosophers picked up on it. See why the Bible has the answer, dear people? You say, boy, it was good for Joseph's brothers. No, you don't understand. It was good for Joseph. See, that's what we don't understand about forgiveness. Forgiveness isn't so much for the forgiven as the forgiver. It's for the one who needs to give it, not the one who needs to receive it. It's more for you than the one who has wronged you. Because if we don't understand it that way, listen, if we don't see it like that, here's what will happen. We are going to be asked to forgive those who wrong us. In some cases, they will never ask for it, and we're still expected of God to forgive them anyway. And we'll think, that's not fair. That's just not fair. Why should I have to forgive them all if they crawl to me on their knees? If they beg for my forgiveness, if they just get down and they just cry, and we have a big Oprah, Dr. Phil thing going on, and we get all the stuff and everything else, and then they tell me why they did wrong, maybe. Truth of the matter is, forgiveness is to be granted without any response from the forgiven. Joseph's brothers asked for forgiveness, but they lied to him in the process. They said, Dad said you have to forgive us. And Jacob never said any such thing. They were even lying when they asked. But Joseph had still forgiven him. Look here, forgiveness was for Joseph so that after 20 years of his life, he didn't shrivel up in his soul. See, this forgiveness thing, friend, this is powerful stuff. You're going to have to learn how to forgive. And if you can't do that, I guarantee you, you're going to spend the rest of your life looking like you got baptized in grapefruit juice. You're going to face on you so long, it'll look like you eat oats out of a gas tank. You're in trouble. So this forgiveness, this is a powerful thing. So Pastor Johnson, I don't get it. I just don't understand how the whole process of this thing works. And it doesn't seem fair I should have to forgive them because, and in many cases, most people don't want to forgive. But I want you to listen to me very carefully. I want you to look there in Ephesians chapter 4. Please keep your Bibles open. And look at that statement in verse number 31. It says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you. The Bible says, with all malice, verse 32, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. See, we think, boy, I'd like to let that go, let that bitterness thing go, Pastor. Because that, listen, if you don't forgive, a root of bitterness, the Bible says in Hebrews, springs up, defiles many. But did you notice something? It doesn't tell you how to let it go. It just says, let it go. It says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger, that's bad temper, hot temper. You show me somebody with a hot temper, I'll show you someone with forgiveness issues in their life. Guaranteed. And by the way, it's not just directed at the person who has wronged you. People with hot tempers, they have noticed that they don't direct their temper toward one person, the one who wronged them. Oh, no, no, no. It gets spread out all over this world. Why do you think we got people driving around losing their temper, shooting at one another for changing car lanes in front of them? Because it pours out. It just carries on. Look, you let it go. But the Bible says to let it go. It doesn't tell you how. It just says do it. And it says, let clamor, that's arguing. Argumentative people have forgiveness issues. Evil speaking, that's cursing, gossiping, trashing people's reputations. Sounds like modern society, doesn't it? And it says, let it all be put away from you with all malice. That's jealousy, envy. And that intent of, I'm going to get even with the whole stinking world. Everybody's going to suffer because I suffered. Why do you think people say, well, a person who's been molested as a child or abused as children, they grow up and they're abusers because they're just having a hard time adjusting to it. No, they've got malice in their life. And if you don't get the forgiveness issue, friends, you're going to make the world pay for what was done to you. I lived in an abusive home. I know what I'm talking about this morning. And the answer is not somebody getting inside your psyche and looking at your past and giving you some kind of an evaluation or a pill. The answer is forgiveness. Because the ability to let it go comes from forgiveness. And you'll never let it go. Never. Until forgiveness is granted. And you find the forgiveness of God to give so you can let it go. You see, you let those things go from you, and guess what? You're the one who benefits from it. I have forgiven people who have never asked me to forgive them. And they may never ask me to do so. My drunken stepfather used to beat us when we were children. I forgave that man years ago. He never said a kind word to me that I can ever remember in my life. And I stood beside his hospital bed and watched cancer wither his body away. And he never spoke a decent word to me, and he never asked me to forgive him. Never. I made peace with it. I forgave the man, and guess whose life is better for it? My friend, look at me. This forgiveness issue, this is God's answer for the relationship problems we have in life. For the things that come to our life that we didn't ask for. Forgiveness. This thing about forgiveness, you understand, if you back up to verse 26, there's all these lets that are mentioned here. In verse 26, well, let's look at them quickly. Be angry and sin not, let not the sun go down on your wrath. That means you shouldn't have a problem in your life that causes you anger or frustration longer than 24 hours. I guarantee there are people in this room, you've been mad for years. I mean angry for a very long time. You can let that go, the Bible says. And it all is in context to verse 32 of forgiveness. Verse number 28, let him that stole steal no more. Your conduct and your behavior. Well, the problem with people stealing, Pastor Johnson, is it's a difficult economy. And after all, here's the problem. That's hogwash. Honest people don't steal no matter what the conditions of the economy are. But I guarantee you this. You get the idea that what's mine's mine and what's yours is mine. Comes from a forgiveness issue. There's a root there. Verse number 29, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. Again, the cursing, swearing, vile use of language. All of it. You let all that, the Bible says, let it go. Just let it go. And then you let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. You can do that if there's forgiveness. Oh, by the way, look at verse 32. And then there's some positive things that come from forgiveness. and be kind one to another. Hey, tender hearted. Boy, it's difficult to help somebody with a calloused heart. Hardened heart. Huh? You couldn't, the love of God can't penetrate that callous. Well, the problem is, Pastor Johnson, I just got to, you know, the problem is, look here, we've got forgiveness issues and it has kept us from having a tender heart. That's a forgiveness issue. Well, we grew up angry in life because it's such a difficult world in which we live today. No. I'm sorry. You've been listening to the wrong people. The issue is, I don't care what kind of childhood you have, and be very careful to hear this preacher this morning. I do not make light of the difficult childhood that people have. None whatsoever. I'm not saying it doesn't matter and it isn't important. I did not say that. I said it's not the condition of your past. It's forgiveness that helps you to deal with this, that'll give you a tender heart. I watched people all my childhood run off and leave me. Don't me. I woke up and I remember times going to bed as a kid at night in Sacramento, California. Woke up the next morning in Marysville. Don't even know how I got there. Changed schools, moved all the time. People walking in and out of my life constantly. You think God have any trust issues? Huh? Any issues with really loving people? See, now look here. And everybody in the background, let's get the background music going here because the poor guy in his life. You look at me. So I've been there, done that, bought the t-shirt, okay? So I know what I'm talking about this morning. But I'm telling you this morning, ladies and gentlemen, this preacher knows how to love, and not because of me, but because of God. And the issue is forgiveness. And if you deal with that issue, you will find you can be kind and tender-hearted in an unkind and hard-hearted world today. Forgiveness is the issue, and it's the answer to all the issues. Now, would you consider the ability to forgive? And here it is this morning. The whole message right here, verse 32. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted. Look at this statement. Forgiving one another. Even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. See, the ability to forgive doesn't mean I have to work it up. I have to work it out. The ability to forgive doesn't mean you'll have to let go of the bitterness and the anger. Then you'll forgive. No, you don't have to let go of any of that. Your ability, your forgiveness will help you to do those very things. And that ability comes from this very simple but vital principle. God has forgiven you of much in your life. And God forgave you for Jesus' sake. Do you realize our forgiveness is third hand? You understand that? From God the Father, through Jesus who paid the price to us. God does not forgive us because we asked for it. God does not forgive us because we're worthy of forgiveness. God forgave us because Jesus went to a bloody cross, shed His blood, gave His life, dipped His soul to death and hell, and rose again 3 days later, ascended back to the Father, shed, poured that blood at the altar, mercy seat of heaven, and God accepted the price that Jesus paid, and He looks at that blood and that Savior and forgives you. And forgives me. Now then, so this man right here, Brother Van Benthusen has done nothing to me. This man right here wrongs me and I can't forgive him. God the Father, who never did anything wrong, never, always pure, always holy, always perfect. God the Father, through Jesus, His sinless Son, gives me forgiveness that I do not deserve, am not worthy of, that nailed His Son to the cross and I can't forgive Him. Now let's say it right. Let's say it right this morning. We're not talking about I can't forgive. Let's say it right. I don't want to. Because that's the bottom line. Because if I realize how much I have been forgiven of because of Jesus and the Father, how could I possibly hold something against this man here? And sometimes what people do to us, it's awful. It's just awful. Ladies and gentlemen, in this whole messed up world in which we live, there's some horrible, heinous things being done to people today. Unbelievable. Just unbelievable. Don't you understand the forgiveness of God was in... God understood the power of that forgiveness and how it would cover anything, no matter how society went, no matter what the direction was, no matter what the offense or the crime, no matter what was done. Don't you understand? God knew what that meant, and that forgiveness would cover all that. And then if you were willing to forgive, you could let it all go. You could just let it all go. All of it. All the bitterness and the anger and all of it. You could just let it go. Now, if you don't, that root of bitterness takes place in the heart. Then Bible says in Hebrews, it springs up and defiles many. So you think, I'm just mad at the person who wronged me. Yeah, but unfortunately, the rest of us are going to get the fallout. We're all going to have to deal with that. We're all going to have to deal with the mealy-mouthed, negative, trashing, running people down, cursing, swearing, anger, temper. We're all going to have to deal with that. We're all going to have to live in a society that's become an angry society. And it's a forgiveness issue. But the forgiveness is found in the ability to give it is from what God has forgiven me for Jesus' sake. Not because, that's the foolishness of telling people you have to be baptized to be forgiven. Seriously, Jesus came and died on the cross and you jump in a tank of water and God will forgive you for it? Then Jesus died for nothing. No. You go to our church and the guy goes, Swami, Salami, all your boys in the army, all you guys off the grass, and then he forgives me. Oh, yeah, so some guy can say that. Why did Jesus die? Jesus died to pay for our sins, to grant us forgiveness by the sacrifice of his own precious blood. What were one of the statements that Jesus made from the cross? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. That wasn't for that howling mob of idiots at the foot of the cross alone. That was for mankind, and God accepted that sacrifice for us. Hey, we have been forgiven much. In Matthew chapter 18, one of the disciples came to Jesus and said, Lord, if my brother offend me, do I have to forgive him? Is it seven times? And Jesus said, no, 70 times seven. Now that calculator, I checked this out before I got here. I think it's 490 times. That's per person, per offense. That's not like 490 times in your life. That's one person, one offense, 490 times. Because he was trying to teach us the practice of forgiveness. And people will give you lots of practice, so don't worry about that part of it. But the point is this. Then he tells a story about a man who owed a man who, it turned out in our modern day today, almost $250 million. He owes this man $250 million. The man calls the debt, and the guy says, I don't have anything to pay it. Please. He knows what it means. He's to be sold to slavery, he and every one of his generation, until it's paid off. That's like forever. And the guy falls down at the man's feet and says, please, give me a chance. He didn't ask for the debt to be removed. He just said, give me a chance to pay it. And the man who was owed the money looked at him and said, that's okay, and wiped it clean. $250 million debt with a okay, it's all right. This man who was forgiven gets up. He walks out of that building. Can you tell me this man was happy? I believe he was happy. Sees a friend on the street, owes him $2. Goes up to that guy and says, hey, man, I need my $2. The guy says, hey, you know what? I don't have it right now. Give me a chance. And instead of him thinking, wow, I just forgiven $250 million. You know, I could probably sprout two. That's not a problem. Instead of that, he grabs him by the throat and drags him to debtor prison to make him pay it off. You say, man, how stupid that man is. How foolish that man is. How cruel that man is. $250 million he got forgiven for, and he couldn't forgive this poor man $2 worth. That, my friend, is a parable that teaches us our God, we owe him a debt we cannot pay. We cannot pay the debt of our sin. We cannot. That's why when someone dies, they go to hell forever. If they're not forgiven, they go to hell forever, because it takes forever to pay one sin off, and we got more than that in our record. Yes? But God, for Jesus' sake, wiped the slate clean, justified, the Bible said, therefore being justified by faith. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Incredible, my friend, forgiven, forgiven, forgotten, it's gone. That's us. We're the $250 million man, you understand? And we've been forgiven for Jesus' sake. And anything you do to me is $2 worth. It's anything. Well, not as far as I'm concerned, Pastor Johnson. Okay, so then you're wrong. You being wronged is greater than what we did to God for Jesus and what we did to the Savior, right? No. That's why when Joseph's brothers came to him and said, Dad said you have to forgive us. And he just breaks down and he weeps. And he said, am I God? He'd already forgiven him. See, that's the truth, friend. Now look at me. You think you're better than God, and that's why you don't want to forgive. And that's the truth of it. You think you're better than God. You think you've been wronged worse than God has. You think what's happened to you is greater than the sin we committed that nailed His Son Jesus to the cross. That's it. Even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. So what you need this morning, friend, is you need to know that forgiveness yourself, first of all. If you don't experience the forgiveness, I'm talking about your feelings now. I'm talking about experientially. If you don't come to the place where you acknowledge you're a sinner and you need forgiveness through Christ by God, then you, my friend, will never understand how to give forgiveness. You can't do it. It won't work. So first of all, it's salvation. Trusting Christ, getting saved. That's number one. Because see, once you have salvation, you always realize, yeah, but I did worse to Jesus than that. Because He was always sinless and I am not. And come on, folks, look at me. You wronged a bunch on your own and you know you have and so have I. But Jesus never wronged anybody and our sin crucified Jesus. Salvation. Then number two, look here. You have to realize you are forgiven for Jesus' sake. He forgave you because Jesus paid for your sins. And we could never, ever put anything done to us on the same level of what we did to Jesus. So it's $2 worth. Economic times are difficult right now. But most people could probably forget about $2 worth. What some of us have done as Christians who, quote, unquote, can't forgive, we don't want to, is we've forgotten how much we have been forgiven. And you keep that factor right in your mind, my friend. No matter what comes, it's $2 worth. It's forgiven. That stepfather, as far as I know, died and went to hell. The man never said a decent word to me in my life, and I never had a chance for him to and I ever have a conversation. And you know what? It wouldn't have made any difference if he'd have told me why he did what he did. He's a drunk. Wine is a mocker. Strong drink is raging. Whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. He's out of his cotton picking mind because of alcohol. Wouldn't have made any difference if he'd have told me why. Would not have mattered. Still happened to me. Wouldn't change what they did to you. Still happened. See, the issue, watch me now, we'll finish. The issue is not what happens outside of your life. What's going on inside of your heart. God has forgiven you for Jesus' sake. If that's happened, now listen, if that's happened to you, then you can know Christ. You know Christ as your Savior. You have every bit of ability to forgive that anybody else on this planet has ever had. Even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. And it's for your benefit now. It's not for the people in your life. Some of these people you forgive, they may never ask or care. I've asked people's forgiveness and granted people's forgiveness before. And had them do everything but spit in my face. Some of the people I've forgiven, they give me a chance to forgive them again. Because they keep doing the same wrongs or something else. Forgiveness doesn't mean you accept it. And forgiveness does not mean you tolerate behavior that's not right. It simply means you don't let it become something in you that destroys your heart and your life. You let it go daily. Because see, the forgiveness of God's available to us any and every time that we need it. Let us stand our feet, please, this morning. All forgiveness is third person, all of it. A lost man has no reason to forgive. A Christian has an even greater reason than anyone. We have been saved. If we take for granted the willingness of God and the cost of Jesus for our forgiveness, then we'll withhold forgiveness.